you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast, sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Tony Andracki here with Jeff Nelson.
Hey, first of all, happy Cubs clinching the anniversary.
That's true.
Cubs clinching the World Series anniversary is when we're recording this.
It's been exactly 365 days since the hell froze over and the Cubs won the World Series. We also are joined by insider Patrick Mooney. And guys, it is. It's the one-year anniversary. It did happen. You know, it's still, having grown up in this market and spent 29 years of my life with the Cubs never in the World Series, looking back does feel like a very dreamlike sequence. Watching the last out, watching Bryant, I still can't imagine how that ball didn't sail into the stands every time I watch it. But it is, you know, really interesting this calendar year. And, you know, Jeff, we were just talking about this before this started. You made up a great point about how everybody thought that whoever would finally win for the Cubs would be the kings of the town. Joe Maddon has not been a king in Chicago for a year now.
No, honestly, before that happened, I thought if whoever would win the World Series and lead them, become Mike Ditka, they become the 85 Bears, would open restaurants, be doing commercials left and right, would never have to pay for a drink or a meal again in the city. But suddenly the expectations got really, really high so fast that fans like me who said, oh, just win one and I'll be happy for the rest of my life, we're not happy anymore. And I guess that just shows that Patrick is probably part of the universe that we're in now with 140 characters and social media, that everything changes and it's got to be immediate and now. And what have you done for me? You didn't win me a World Series last year, so now I'm mad, right?
Well, I mean, David Ross gets that treatment.
You know, that's true.
He sucked up all the kind of goodwill. But, yeah, certainly it seems like a lot longer than 365 days ago, and it's I didn't watch much of the World Series, but just seeing the end last night, and obviously the Astros are a great story. They did something, you know, great for a city at a time when Houston needed it, and Dodger Stadium is definitely a historic backdrop for all this. But I don't know, it certainly was not an epic Game 7. It didn't have kind of the rain and those mystical elements, and I don't know, just kind of sitting on my couch, it was just kind of weird to see what was obviously a great World Series and a great spectacle. It still just wasn't quite as epic as the Cubs, and I wonder if we'll ever see anything quite like that again in our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of biased. Nothing is going to top that, too. But it was, as a fan watching the World Series this year, it's kind of a different feeling. It wasn't like watching, wishing, oh, maybe one day my team will get there. Now is, we've gone the thing, so I was able to appreciate two really, really good baseball teams, and probably the two teams that deserved it most to be there were, and as good as the Astros were, and like you said, congratulations to them, and just imagine if they would have taken Marco Pell number one in the draft and they would have gone with Chris Bryant. Just imagine if that one little change could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's never going to be another World Series with the stakes the way that 2016 was. The fact that the Cubs came down from down 3-1, even forced a Game 7, in my eyes and in the eyes that I know of a lot of people here in Chicago at least, but you can't get a more important baseball game than 2016's Game 7, than 365 days.
108 years,
yeah. And then Cleveland's at the same time. So either way, the outcome of the final game of the season, and everybody knew it was the final game. That's the great part. Game 6, yeah, that can be the final game, but, you know, in last year as well, Game 5 could have been. But the fact that it wasn't is, like, you know that there's still a possibility that there could be another one. Game 7, that's it. That's the final chapter, the final page of the book. And to have that guarantee where there's going to be one of the top two longest droughts, championship droughts in baseball is going to end. You just can't get stakes like that, and you couldn't manufacture it this year. as juiced as the balls were, or allegedly were, or still are, they couldn't match that with all these records that they set this Fall Classic. It just does not compare, like you said, Pat.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, too, about how much has changed in a year in terms of, you know, granted, it was the whole kind of World Series hangover, but people were talking about the Cubs as a potential dynasty, and while they still should be pretty good for the next several years, I think this year has really kind of silenced that talk, and watching the World Series, to me, was kind of a reminder of how much work has to be done this winter. I mean, I couldn't see the Cubs winning four times in seven games against either team. Obviously, you know, they couldn't do it against the Dodgers, and the Astros were, you know, a superior team as well. And I think this is going to be a really interesting point, kind of a pivot point in terms of we'll learn a lot about where the Cubs are headed if they can, you know, plug these holes in the rotation, you know, kind of rebuild the bullpen on the fly, and we'll see if they do touch that World Series core and trade them, you know, a guy or two for pitching.
Yeah, that's one of the issues, like you mentioned, in terms of the pitching staff is Jake Arrieta, and having to replace him, it's interesting. It's, you know, Jeff, you were talking about Chris Bryant and Mark Appel and that decision that shaped the Cubs franchise. I keep thinking, especially this year with Arrieta and Lackey both presumed to leave, I keep thinking how important Kyle Hendricks' development has been to where the Cubs are now. He was not a part of the core when he was coming up.
No.
He was just a guy that was supposed to potentially eat up some innings or be a swing man or a number five starter or anything else. And, I mean, he wound up becoming the ERA leader in 2016. He started and didn't get the win in Game 7 last year, but obviously pitched well enough, too, before he was taken out. He pitched the Cubs to the World Series. So this guy that they didn't count on for anything, not when he was coming up at least, helped shape the whole franchise. And it's kind of like, you know, I was looking back, I couldn't help but think about Marwin Gonzalez on the Astros and how he was just a utility guy. And he was a guy that Theo and the Cubs chose not to protect right when they first got over here. They lost him in the Rule 5 draft. He goes to the Astros, is just a utility backup infielder, outfielder, then all of a sudden changes his whole game and becomes one of the most important players on the 2017 Astros. It's just weird how much difference a year can make, or these underrated guys really affect the dynasties that we have going on right now.
Yeah, the underrated guys, especially the Rule 5 players, that's where the teams who are tanking, for lack of a better term, are really at the advantage, where you can hide somebody on the roster for long stretches of time, kind of like the Cubs did with Hector Rondon. Put him in the bullpen for a while and just kind of shield him around, and then until you're able to develop him too. And it's just really, and just the price of, like you mentioned with Kyle Hendricks, you just never know where lightning's going to strike. And developing pitchers, developing any player is tough, but developing a pitcher is even more so, which is why we saw Theo and Jed go for the get the bats and go sign a big pitcher when they're ready. But now, Patrick, what is out there in terms of pitching? We're looking at replacing 40% of the starting rotation, most likely. I guess everybody's assuming Jake is gone and Lackey's riding off into the sunset. I mean, what do they do? Last year we had to replace 20% of the rotation, and the Brett Anderson thing didn't work out. Now we have to double that this year.
Well, to me, watching the Astros celebrate, I was picturing Jake Arrieta in Dodger blue, and I think that makes a ton of sense.
Oh, good. More money for them to spend.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they've been this, you know, relatively conservative on some level in terms of their appetite for risk, and they've collected a lot of kind of talented injury-prone pitchers like Brett Anderson, the Brandon McCarthys, Scott Kazmierz, and, you know, kind of they built these teams for regular season excellence, that their depth and versatility would keep showing up over and over again and give them an edge that really played out across a six-month season. But I think Scott Boras already has his big squirrel analogy ready to go, that, you know, Jake Arrieta has a lot of nuts in his tree. That's what he was saying out during the NLCS, and that you need someone who can pitch in big games. And I'm not quite sure if the Dodgers have that yet, and if they're going to regret not signing Max Scherzer a couple of years ago, not trading for Justin Verlander. Julio Urias was supposed to be this great pitching prospect. Obviously, he's dealt with some injury issues. And I think at a certain point, if you're going to win that World, obviously they got very close. But to me, Yu Darvish having two really bad World Series starts, knocks him down. I don't see how they can bring him back as a number one or two starter. Jake has that big game track record. And obviously L.A. and Hollywood, a great pitcher's park and environment would certainly appeal to Jake. So I think the Cubs are probably looking at signing a guy like Alex Cobb, who I think we're going to hear a lot about, just with his connections to Jim Hickey and the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's kind of in that right age range if the Cubs think he can stay healthy enough to be a difference maker. And then to me, Ian Happ is the guy that is most likely to be traded, just because you can kind of sell high on him and market him to teams with a lot of different needs. He'll be cheap for a couple of years because he's behind the Schwarbers on the salary scale. He can play a lot of different positions. He's a switch hitter, and coming off a 20-plus homer rookie season, I think he's kind of the least painful move, and a guy who they really drafted with the explicit idea of him coming fast and being flipped for pitching.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially on the Arrieta part. Seeing him in Dodger blue, I think that'll bring a wrinkle to the fact that these are perceived to be the Cubs and the Dodgers, two of the best teams in the NL. They very well may meet in the third straight NLCS in 2018, the way things are playing out.
And you're looking at kind of like two teams with huge budgets, but also the analytical side that is really at the forefront of where baseball has become now. And those two combinations together make it really tough for the rest of the league to try to keep pace with
it. And a young core. You've got obviously all the young Cubs hitters here, but you got Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager. I know Chris Taylor's only 27 years old. It's this breakout season for real, and if it is, then he's a part of that young core. Justin Turner is north of 30, but the way he's turned his career around, you figure he's got a few years left. So, yeah, there are definitely some intriguing young guys in L.A., and Arrieta, I think he just fits perfectly in that city, like you mentioned, Pat. And, a guy who loves doing off-the-field stuff. Like, he's been to Second City here doing a lot of improv stuff. He's already mentioned back in April, he mentioned that he was going to be going out to L.A. in the winter to do improv with the Broken Lizard, the Super Troopers guys.
Okay.
So, there's already, a natural fit. He's already going to be in L.A. this winter.
Have a Pilates studio and a juice bar on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, all of that makes sense, too. You just see him on, Muscle Beach?
Yeah.
He's just going to be running, a Rocky theme or something.
With beard or without? Are we going to...
Well, without for to start.
Well, first and then start, with and then start. Once the season starts to go full beard.
But, it really is interesting. But at the same time, this is going to be a completely new rivalry next year between the Cubs and Dodgers, because you figure, if Darvish doesn't come back to L.A., if Arrieta switches blue, and like we said, all the question marks about who are the Cubs going to fill? Is Chris Taylor for real? Are some of these other factors going to come into play? So I think the Dodgers are just as interesting right now to watch from the Cubs' perspective as the Cubs are.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, a year ago we're talking, the Cubs are a dynasty, they can win three or four or five World Championships. Now you're thinking, okay, are these guys the Braves of the 90s who are going to be competitive for multiple seasons, which is the goal that Theo wants, but only breakthrough once? And that's the scary part is you obviously don't want to put yourself in position, but to get over the hump, you need that special magic, and we saw that back in 2016. They obviously didn't have this past season.
Yeah, and then there's the factor too of how much is left for guys like John Lester, or the question mark of what do the Cubs do with the back end of the bullpen? The Dodgers have Kenley Jansen. Now they used him. I think he pitched in all but two playoff games, I believe, this fall. They used him against the Cubs in that game three when they were up 4 runs, I think it was, and they used him for 2 or 3 innings in that. So, how does that carry over? We saw Aroldis Chapman was used a ton last fall. This
But they knew that just get the last out of Aroldis Chapman that you can, because he was not coming back.
True, so. It affected Chapman's entire 2017 season.
But that didn't matter to the Cubs. Yeah, and that didn't matter.
I'm curious to see how Jansen will be affected in 2017, especially if he does have to pitch into November like he's did this year.
I'm also curious to see what all the new voices on the Cubs coaching staff, is that going to change things? Are they going to maybe sometimes listening to a new voice or hearing the same message a different way? Maybe that can make a difference, and sometimes you need to make change.
Yeah, Pat, what's your take total on the coaching staff and the changes? I know you, in a beat writer meeting with Madden, said, of course, all the coaches will be back. The three of us said in this podcast last week, knowing that Chris Bosio is gone, and then shortly after we recorded, all of a sudden John Maley's gone, Gary Jones is gone. What's your take overall on the coaching staff, Pat?
Well, I think, I wrote about how Madden did, purposely mislead us, not only saying, of course, he wanted everyone back, but then giving this elaborate explanation on why the coaching staff is so great and how harmonious they are and how no one's on an island and everyone is completely empowered to share whatever they think at any time. And clearly, Madden lied to us at that point, and he basically said, if I had to do it all over again, I would do the exact same thing, which I think is kind of a weird or revealing insight into kind of Madden's personality. Who
I feel like we've heard that before. He kind of said the same thing about the way he used Chapman last fall, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, Madden's a great guy to deal with. He's a Hall of Fame manager, and, this ultimately everyone will kind of forget about the pitching staff stuff, and I think the coaching staff stuff. And I think they wound up with, Jim Hickey's got a great reputation. Chili Davis has a great resume. Brian Butterfield is someone who people around the Red Sox just rave about, the work he does and his attention to detail. So I get why they did it. I still think it's weird the way it was handled. I think it's said something about kind of this Cubs culture that they love to talk up all the time, when I think really the bottom line is keep doing a great job until someone from the Red Sox comes along who might do a little bit better job. I think but I also think that change could be good, that this might help Madden get better at his job. I mean, certainly Chili Davis could help work, someone who's been there before could help with some of these young hitters. And, Chris Bosio had a great 6-year run, and maybe it is time for a new voice. But, yeah, it's just really strange to think that the coaching staff that went to 3 straight NLCSs, roughly half of them are gone. And, the Cubs are not quite starting over, but just have a lot of, kind of question marks, up and down the roster and, now in the coaching staff, and really trying to catch up to a Dodger team that, doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Cubs Talk podcast. When we get back, we'll talk to David Kaplan for more on the Cubs coaching staff, including David Ross's stance.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast. We got David Kaplan, Kelly Kroll now. And guys, let's first start talking about the Cubs coaching staff. Obviously, things have been shaken up quite a bit. The offseason has just begun now, but Cap, in talking with you, you had different ideas about who could possibly be the bench coach. I know David Ross's name has been thrown out. That would be interesting. I'm sure Cubs fans would love that. But then the Ozzie Guillen name has also been thrown out. What's your take so far on Ross, Guillen, or who Madden's bench coach might be?
I think Brandon Hyde will be a candidate because he was a bench coach. So I could easily see if they can't get their first choice. Their first choice is David Ross, 100%. Do I think he'll take it? I think they'd have to significantly overpay. Mm-hmm. I don't see him leaving his family to the degree a bench coach job would require. When you're a player, you show up, you play, you leave. When you're a coach, you're there a whole lot longer. So if they're willing to pony up, yeah, they might have a shot because he does want to manage at some point. I love Ozzy. I do. I think he's awesome. I think players like playing for him. I just question whether he's Theo and Jed's cup of tea. I do. So those are probably the three candidates I see.
Yeah, I think from a fan standpoint, from a player standpoint, I think David Ross is just the perfect fit, right, to what Cap is saying. This whole year that was supposed to be a down year, an off year for him to spend time with his family was anything but that. So I think he'll probably have a lot of late conversations with the wife at night if this is a really good offer to what Cap is saying. But I think David Ross also understands, as many times as we bumped into him at the field and he talks to us about all the opportunities.
Was he at Wrigley this year?
Here and there, you know, all the opportunities he got following
or dancing on the video board.
Yes, yeah. The 2016 championship was the Dancing with the Stars, all that. He does understand the notion of striking the iron while it's hot. And this bench job for the Cubs or any team that's really put together already, those aren't jobs that necessarily open up all the time. I say that
very
with Houston
rare.
Possibly leaving, you know, that kind of thing. But they're very rare. And David Ross is, I'm an intelligent guy who knows that opportunity. So it could be very interesting down the stretch to the others that I don't know. I think Brandon Hyde would also be a really good fit. Makes sense. Then you can plug someone in over at first base that you really like. Ozzy Guillen, I don't know enough to speak on that. That would certainly be intriguing to say the least. I'd be more curious to hear how fans and even the players, I don't know as much as he'll say he will not be a distraction. Just his name is a distraction.
It's a natural distraction.
Exactly.
But I think once he settled into the job, players like playing for Ozzy. They
That's
like
true.
Being around him. That, yeah, the first press conference, the first day of spring training, people are like, oh, my God, that's Ozzy Guillen in a Cubs uniform. But I think after that, he's just there doing his job.
Who knows? Maybe it would take some heat off all the decisions Madden makes, right? Hey, then
maybe.
You can blame it on Guillen as well.
Or it puts more heat on the decisions Madden
it's
makes
true.
Because you have a proven World Series winning Chicago manager behind him. But, all right, so what are the chances, Cap, we'll start with you. Chances David Ross becomes Cubs bench coach in 2018?
I'm going to say it's probably like 40-60.
40-60 not, or 40-60 that he would.
40 that he does, 60 that he doesn't. I mean, at some point, you know, you could say we're going to spend whatever it takes. You can't pay a bench coach $1 million a year. It's just not going to happen. And I'm sure he's in that vicinity on TV, 750, something like that. That's not what most bench coaches make. Plus, you go to TV 2 days a week and you're home with your family to rest. And when a game ends on TV, you throw your notes in the garbage, go, where do I go to dinner? Hey, man, you got a game plan to put together for the next day and the next day and the next.
The time commitment is
it's a big
so
time
huge.
Commitment.
And he's been around the game long enough to recognize that, too. I remember even him bringing that up about, as a player, it's great. We end the game, we, you know, take a shower, put on clothes, and out to dinner we go. And these coaches are there, and they're also there 2 hours, 3 hours before them every day. Day games, they're there at 6 a.m., some of these guys.
Yep.
And certainly, Davey Martinez was one of them. So
what do you put the odds at, Kelly?
David I don't Ross know. I'd be curious to know the recruiting video that Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant put together, because
no
I
question.
Think that could be fun.
That would be fun to see.
Because I bet it happens, too.
And will Jason Hayward rent a suite for him again?
Exactly.
That would be part of his salary, right? That would help get him from the TV money to
We'll get you
money.
The suite.
Yeah, if the players trip it. There you go.
Yeah.
No, percentage-wise, I'm with Cap probably a little less than 50% right now. But time will tell.
All right, switching gears then to players. Now, Jake Arrieta is one of the top names that the Cubs have leaving via free agency as of right now. Obviously, they still can re-sign him. Wade Davis is another guy. But Arrieta, seeing that the Dodgers just won the World Series, they might need some pitching there. Patrick Mooney.
I mean, the Dodgers were in the World Series.
I'm sorry, Astros won the World Series. The Dodgers were the runners up, right, and still need to get over the hump. They haven't won the World Series since the year Clayton Kershaw was born. So if they need some pitching, Arrieta, obviously, he likes L.A. He's going to be out there doing improv this winter. What are the chances you see him and the Dodgers? In my mind, they're a perfect fit right now.
Well, when you spend $275 million on payroll, which they did, you obviously spare no expense. But Jake is looking to get paid handsomely. At some point, they do have a budget. You're paying dollar for dollar or more in luxury tax. Are they going to give Jake 6 years at $180 million? I don't know if they would. I could see the Texas Rangers who desperately need pitching. He lives down there. I could see that. I don't see Houston being a factor. I don't see them spend $28 million on Verlander and another $25 to $30 million on Jake. That would surprise me.
But
I could see the St. Louis Cardinals being a factor.
They could. But Houston has cheap guys in Carlos Correa. Even Altuve is only making 12 and a half.
Houston just proved they can do it without Jake. Why? I mean,
that's
why would you even do it? They're not
losing
enough
to get paid shortly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Cubs are in a similar boat, not
correct,
too far off. But
Cubs have much more revenue than Houston.
I agreed. And I don't know. So what has the ship sailed completely for you with him returning to Chicago?
I'm going to say it has not completely sailed.
Okay.
It is not.
I think it's going to be interesting now that, and I hate to speak to the reputation that Yu Darvish has, but I think it'll be interesting. That was a name that was tossed around early for the Cubs, and I think what we saw from him in the playoffs, not that he was put in the best situation, but even still, a smaller sample size, you can't tell me that he's a better bet than really just paying and ponying up for Jake Arrieta. At least they know what they're getting. I mean, whether
right
or not they want to sign that check is kind of another
depends
subject
on years,
but
too.
Yeah. They're about
away
the same age, right? I'm right that Darvish is like 31-ish.
Yeah, but, I mean, Darvish, he did have the time off for the elbow injury, but he generally has more miles on his arm because of Arrieta, you know, kind of going back and forth to right the bullpen, down to the minor leagues and stuff. So Darvish has a little bit more in terms of mileage. But then the fact that he has Tommy John on his resume is more scary because Arrieta hasn't had that. And Arrieta is in a little bit better physical condition. I mean, he's in better physical condition than 99% of players. So
yeah, and not afraid to play in those big games.
Well, I wouldn't close the door. I know everyone made a big deal because there's a for sale sign on the house he was living in. I believe he was renting it.
Yeah, I think he was
so,
too, actually.
I think it was the landlord that's selling it. So
yes.
Jake, the landlord's throwing Jake under the bus right now.
Yeah, everyone's like, wow, did you see the house is for sale? Look, if Jake ends up signing here, he'll have enough money. He can live wherever he wants.
Yeah, definitely. And what about Chris Archer? You still like that name? You still think
yeah,
that's
I
a
would
name
love,
that they could? I mean, I love the name. I just, what are you?
I think that that would take a ton to get him here. But I could also see the Rays saying, well, wait a minute, we could pick up maybe two everyday players.
Sure.
You know, an Ian Happ, a Kyle Schwarber. I mean, imagine if you got Kyle Schwarber as your DH, Ian Happ's playing in one of your outfield spots or at second, and you gave up one controllable asset in a starting pitcher, maybe threw in a bullpen arm. I would think the Cubs would be interested. I would think
the
Rays
would be. The Cubs would, giving up two of their young position players for one guy in Chris Archer.
Who you control for four more years.
But then pitching is such a risk. And I know Schwarber and Happ could be risks in other facets too. Schwarber just spent both guys were in the minors this year. But, I mean, if Archer gets hurt, then you give up two guys for whoever.
At some point, you got to make a move. You know, you're going to sign Lance Lynn, who's had injury problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're
no
going to pay Jake $6 for $180, or are you going to take cost control pitching?
The cost control I like, but it seems interesting, and I only did this the other day because I was curious, but looking at Chris Archer's numbers, I think that we put him in this, like, one or two role, and he's not.
Well, he just had an arm cleanup done. He had some issues injury-wise this year. They
but his,
through.
Like, I think numbers were pretty close in line with Jose Quintana. That's what I was looking at. So he slots in as your three, and you're going to give up two guys? That just seems like a lot to me.
Look what you gave
two
up for Quintana.
Days. True.
Two elite prospects, or one super elite prospect.
It's easier when you haven't seen him yet on the big stage, right?
Right.
To let him walk.
I love Archer. I think he'd be a really, really tremendous arm here.
I'll tell you what, for the media, he'd be tremendous because he's one of the best interviews
I've ever done. Had him on. He's amazing.
Hands down.
I mean, if I told you that you got Archer, and what if I told you you could make a trade to get Jeff Samardzija? What if I told you you could move the money of Jason Hayward, $146 million owed, you traded him to San Francisco, you took back Jeff Samardzija's 60, Mark Melancon, who had an awful year, is owed 46, and I know everyone's going, well, if he's had an awful year, why do I want him? Because you want someone to take $146 million in salary, you're going to have to take equal salary back. So what if I told you you got Melancon, try to fix him as a bullpen piece, potentially a closer, but certainly as a setup guy, and you got Jeff Samardzija as your five, who led the NL in innings, led the NL in fewest walks, had a decent whip at 121, ERA was bloated, but on a bad team. You know he likes Chicago. You know he fits in your clubhouse.
He has been a rather big game pitcher over his career as well.
So you bring him here as your five. You traded for Chris Archer as your four. And all of a sudden your rotation is John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, Chris Archer, Jeff Samardzija. I'll go to war with that.
But then who plays? You lost Kyle Schwarber, Jason Heyward, and Ian Happ. All of a sudden you don't have a glut of position players anymore. So assume Albert Almora then, obviously, in that case, would be manning center field all the time.
Right.
But then where do you go from there? I mean, Zobrist pretty much play right field, or I guess left field.
What if I told you that maybe you moved Javi Baez to third and you put Chris Bryant in a corner spot in the outfield? There's a number of options you could open up here, or leave Chris at third.
A guy like John Jay may want to come back for cheap.
But he's not a starter. He's an everyday,
well,
not an everyday guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on a championship level team, but there would be plenty of guys that you could go out and make a move for and see what you could do.
How easy do you think it would be for them to unload Hayward's salary, even like you talked about, Samardzija and Melanson? I mean, Melanson, this was only his first year there, and he was a really, really good pitcher for a long time before that.
Yeah, but look who we just saw close out the Astros, the World Series, as a guy who in Pittsburgh, they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton, and he's like, he looked like an all-star last night. Sometimes the change of scenery doesn't always work, but if it did work for Melanson, heck, that's a steal.
Morton's thrown 98, 99 now. That helps a lot, too. He never did that in Pittsburgh, but I do agree with you completely, yeah. So what are the chances, like, how easy would that be for them?
I don't think any move when you're trying to move a salary of $146 million left is easy. You're going to have to take back bad money. Like when the Cubs moved Todd Hundley several years ago, they took bad money back on a struggling Eric Kiros. Oh, he had a heck of a year here. And Mark Grudzielanek. And all of a sudden you went, wow, that deal worked out really well. They're not easy to do. But, you know, if you're San Francisco, you're in a rebuild. You really don't need a closer on a team that's going to finish up the track. If you could move Samardzija's money and all of a sudden you get a guy who defensively fits in a big ballpark in San Francisco.
Big right center.
So now you get a Gold Glover. You figure maybe we can work with him on his hitting. He's never going to be a 30-30 guy, but you never know. And he's good in the clubhouse. You went, you know what? As we rebuild, maybe this makes sense.
That's another that you say the built good in the clubhouse. I mean, that's another big loss for the Cubs in terms of a leadership role.
No question.
He's a big leader in there, whether people want to admit, I get the numbers, you want to, you know, not
he
be.
He is loved by his team.
But I mean, yeah, you talk about messing with chemistry of the team.
Right.
But again, it's a lot of money.
But if David Ross comes back as bench coach, that helps, right?
Yeah.
It
can
does.
We make
bringing
all that
full
happen?
Circle. Yeah.
But I mean, then no I one's paying for a suite.
I think it's going to be a super busy offseason.
I do too.
But if you can open up right field, you're opening up a place where now I can get a better bat 155 to 160 times a year. That's big.
Any chance, what's your Bryce Harper's theories?
I will
can
be shocked.
Can he be out there in right field?
If he's here. Shocked.
Yeah.
Free agent in a year.
Yeah.
Shocked.
Yeah, but if you move Jason Hayward's money, doesn't that make it a little bit more realistic?
Still paying the money to Samardzija to...
True, yeah. but they're contracts would be ending sooner, so you wouldn't have as much of an overlap with them and Bryce Harper. But
Cap, I mean, you want to go help Judd and Theo with all these ideas?
This is like a
all
video
right, boys,
game.
I've got some ideas for you here. Grab a pencil and paper. Here we go.
Just when this podcast is up, just email it to them. And, I mean, this will be part of their pitch to Bryce Harper, or David Ross, or Mark Melanson, or Chris Archer, or Jeff Samardzija, any of these guys.
I just think it's going to be a super busy winter. Mm-hmm. I think we will be covering. Kelly and I will be like, whoa, another move?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Your window to win is right now. Chris Bryant has, what, 3 years left before he pitched? He played in 15, 16, 17. He's got 4 years left. You got 3 years of control on Quintana. You got three more years on John Lester. You've got Kyle Hendricks is coming up for arbitration. You've got some guys, Contreras. These guys are going to get paid. You got to start thinking how I win now. And I think they will.
That sounds like a perfect place to end the podcast. Remember, we are brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Find all of our podcasts at nbcsportschicago.com/podcast. See you next week.